Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the February 2022 online Midwinter Home Education Conference.
That will just go ahead and welcome our panel, Geneva Swenson, Carrie Rector, and Sarah Andrews.
Hi, thank you. So what we were thinking of doing today is just kind of talking a little bit about who we are, introducing ourselves, and kind of a little bit about our story and why we are doing multiple school models. And then just kind of open the floor up for any questions. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Sarah to share her story and tell us a little bit about her first.
Sure. Thanks, Kara. Sorry, I first have to apologize. I'm on my phone and I just came from the pool because I'm on vacation in Mexico right now. So we're really taking advantage of the homeschool lifestyle at the moment. So my name is Sarah Andrews. I started homeschooling about 6 years ago when my son was in first grade, and homeschooled up him and my daughter up until this past year, when last summer my son, he's just really curious about public school, and he asked if he could go and try it out. He said, I'm not going to make a big commitment just for a year, but that's how we ended up having my daughter at home and my son in sixth grade at a local charter school. And then since then, right after Christmas, my daughter wanted to go try the public school too. So at this current moment, I don't have any kids at home that I'm homeschooling, but my son is like ready to come home and homeschool again. But just because of the reasons that he had to want to try public school, we're requiring him to stay in the whole year and finish it up before he comes back home again to homeschool again next year.
Awesome, thank you.
You want me to go now?
Geneva, yep.
Yeah, I'm Geneva. We have been homeschooling. I have 14-year-old and 12-year-old sons that we've been homeschooling kind of from the beginning. And then we started doing foster care about 6 years ago. And at least in our area, and I think most areas, foster children are required to be in public schools. So when I was approached about this panel, I actually at first wondered if I should participate because I felt forced into, different options, educational models. But then I started to think about it and realized that, I do know some families that definitely like always plan on having some kids in public school and some kids pulled out to homeschool at different times. But I also happen to know a lot of families that are doing both models for reasons that are out of their control, whether it be needing to seek further employment that kind of interrupts their homeschool opportunities, or whether it's mental health or family dynamics of the siblings. There's lots of reasons that people kind of need to do both options at the same time. So I felt like I could speak to that a little bit and to why it's so important to, get some of the, have some plans for some of the hiccups that might come along so that you don't resent the situation that you're in. And so, yeah, that's kind of the angle that I'm coming from.
Awesome. Thank you. And ours is kind of, our situation is somewhat similar to Sarah's a little bit. And we have five kids and we've homeschooled pretty much since my oldest was in second grade. So we did, public school for a little while. We brought the kids to homeschool. None of my kids ever wanted to go to public school. They weren't very interested. We like to try and give them the choice, because even though I prefer the principles of homeschooling, there may be a different experience that they want to have. So it's something that we talk about. And at one point, my teenage daughter, my third child, had heard about kids going to tech schools and doing a culinary arts program in high school. And she was like, do we have anything like that around? And it turns out we do. In Pennsylvania, where I live, there's three different tiers of public school. So there's your standard public school, there's publicly funded charter schools, and then there's publicly funded cyber charter schools. And what's cool about the publicly funded charter schools is they can really run it their own way. So she's at a tech school doing a culinary arts program, but they wear uniforms. The teachers have more say over the curriculum that they can do. So it's really neat. Though I would love it if we lived in a state that did like a release time, but they really don't. Technically, they're supposed to offer it, but they also can say no. So anyway, they don't do a release time thing. So she's in it for all of it. And she has a love-hate relationship with it. But there was a lot of, a lot of thought and prayer. And so that's kind of the angle that I'm coming at it with. So I kind of just want to open the floor for questions, just unmute and hop on or put something in the chat, and we'll keep an eye on that too.
Do you want to take turns to talk a little bit about the pros and cons that we've experienced in our own?
Yeah. I think that would be great. Why don't you go first?
Sure. Oh, wait.
Okay.
There's a question here. How do you balance breaks? Do you keep the same schedule as the public school system?
I'll speak to that since I'm at a weird break right now. That's like applying to my life right now. It is harder. When we planned this vacation, we had one homeschooler and one kiddo in public school. And we did have to plan for when my son had the most time off. As far as when my daughter is homeschooling and my son's on breaks, she was kind of like, if AJ, my son's AJ, if he's not in school, then I'm not doing school either. And that's the way I thought that was a great idea, honestly, because I want them to have that good quality family time when they're home so that they can both, they're great friends because they've grown up homeschooling together and spending a lot of time together. So we have done breaks. And like, if my son's off that day and my daughter's homeschooling, then she had that day off too, just to kind of keep up with that family culture and quality family time that we were not getting as much of when we were all homeschooling. What about you, Geneva?
We've had foster children that were like, didn't go to school at all because they were too young. We've had a high schooler, and we've had our most recent one that just left was in first grade. So until the most recent one that we've had for 14 months, we just ignored the public school schedule altogether and just did what worked for us. But then with the things kind of shifted, because more so for us, it was just hard to get work done for the older kids when the little ones were home. Like, it just kind of threw me off, and I found myself like getting frustrated easily and losing patience. So I just pretty quickly made the call to do what you said, where like, if they had a day off, which it seemed like they did all the time, we had a day off and I would just figure it out later. With COVID, our school district has given, our teachers have two teacher work days a month. So it just added a lot of days off for our schedule. There was something else. Let me reread her question because of something else. Oh, vacations. So that has been a little bit more difficult. Luckily, unluckily, COVID has kind of shut down a lot of our vacation plans that we would normally be doing. So we didn't have to address the awkwardness of like wanting to vacation while kids were in public school, especially because not only would I have to deal with like the public school, like kind of getting permission to pull her out, but then also the Department of Social Services. So that would have been complicated. But luckily we had a lot of support and had good respite options if we did want to travel. But if it had been like a regular sibling dynamic where it may not have been as easy to go on vacation without one of the children. Something that's kind of popping into my mind is my sister has a 15-year-old that really wanted to go to public school. And her family travels a lot. and usually not during like a normal vacation time. So part of the family discussion with her was that, you know, she was 15 years old. She was starting to make choices for herself and, you know, that they were going to allow that, but it also would mean that she would miss out on some of those things, that they would, you know, obviously make some adjustments to where there were opportunities where she could participate and travel, but that she would in fact be missing out on it sometimes and would be staying with, you know, cousins and things like that. So that, you know, if your kids are older, that's part of the kind of like, you know, things that they need to consider, natural consequences as they make those educational choices for themselves with your help.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is easier with older kids. Like my high schooler, she knows that we might, you know, have an opportunity to travel. Her biggest frustration is just the LDSCG conferences, actually. She just really wants to still go to those, but she has to be in school. And we talked to her, the way we framed it for her was we talked about opportunity cost. We were like, you know, whichever way you choose, you're going to gain things and you're going to lose things a little bit. You know, you gain the experience of restaurant work and of cooking work. They do, they run a restaurant and they, all the teachers can order from the culinary arts students. So they run every bit of the restaurant experience. And no matter how good, you know, at home culinary arts type of a thing we could hopefully provide, we couldn't provide that. There's no way, you know, we could provide that. So she gets that benefit. But the opportunity cost is that she may not be able to go to the conferences depending on when they are, when her school breaks are. But the cost of staying in homeschool may not be one that she wanted to do, you know, either. So we framed it with her because she's older as opportunity cost. I think if my kids were younger though, I would probably work around the school schedule more because it would be way harder for them to kind of understand, you know, well, so-and-so is not doing school. Why am I not doing school? You know, and then vacationing would be a little trickier. I would also depend on how lenient your school area is with like educational trips. Like you can, in our school district, you can apply like and have take up to like 4 days off for like an educational thing, but you really have to justify it as an educational thing, which as homeschoolers are pretty, you know, good at doing. We can like make anything, you know, into a lesson. But when they get into the older grades, that's tricky too, because they might miss work, you know, experiences and certifications that they need. But I think daily we definitely work around more the school schedule. And when she gets home from school, my other kids, well, they're already done anyway. But I hope that's helpful. Do you have any other questions?
I can speak a little bit to some pros and cons that kind of I was thinking about a little bit. Maybe you guys can too. I think the greatest, maybe it seems obvious, but I feel like the greatest benefit to having a mix of public school or, you know, private school or charter school, whatever it is with your homeschool, is that you can really meet the needs of your children. You know, I have a son with ADD who would really not do very well in a classroom setting. I think he'd be nagged a lot, things like that. So, you know, it benefits him to be able to have the opportunity to be home and to meet his needs more of an individual basis for now as he's younger. And then, you know, also work on helping him learn tools that, you know, when he gets older and needs to be in a classroom setting, if he wants to, you know, pursue higher education, then we can also work on, you know, him accessing those tools to be more successful. And but yet I like, so our foster daughter that was in first grade, one of the things that I was worried about as we were approaching permanency decisions with her was if we did adopt her, I really felt like she would be miserable as a homeschooler. She wouldn't misbehave or give me a hard time. She just wouldn't be as happy because she thrives on kind of the worksheet teacher pet feedback. Like she really needed to go into the classroom and receive kind of like the feedback that she was getting from the way this school day was laid out and the types of assignments that they had. So I just was worried about being able to meet those needs for her. So, I mean, you know, within biological siblings, there's often those types of different personalities where, you know, some children may not have their, you know, even just some, their love languages may not be met in certain settings. So, do you all mind, my con just popped out of my head. So can you all speak of your pros? And
I can jump in. I think one of the biggest pros that I came up with also is the idea of knowing that you're meeting your kids' needs. I was definitely one of those people when I started homeschooling that I was kind of like, I'm either going to homeschool them all or I'm going to send them all to school. And, you know, those kind of famous last words. I mean, you guess what you're going to do in the future, but when it comes time and you have certain kids asking for certain experiences and other kids asking for different ones, I found more important than the scheduling issues that I had imagined being a problem was my desire to allow my kids the curiosity and the desire and to go out and experience the world. So my son, I'm really pleased with him. I thought it was a big step for him and his personality to have the desire to go out and meet the greater world and see what was going on out there. And he has learned a lot of amazing lessons that I couldn't effectively teach him at home just because of the numbers in our family. So there are definite benefits to that. I also really see something happening that now that my son has been to school, when he comes home, he's going to have so much more buy-in with homeschooling. So I think letting your kids kind of cross to the other side of the fence and find out like the grass is greener over here or it's not greener over here is a really valuable lesson for your kids. I know one of our family priorities is to help our kids have a voice and to learn to make choices and to live out those choices with the full consequence of them. And I felt like this is a really great way for my kids to get out there and experience more things. And so that was definitely a pro. And it is really nice being able to focus more fully on the kids who were at home. I could focus more on my daughter and teach her in a way that's different that I could do when I had all of my kids home.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, pros and cons that we have found. I agree with a lot of the pros that Geneva and Sarah have shared. It's funny, one of the pros that was kind of a surprising one is my daughter Bethany. She's the one that we're talking about the most here, but she thought she would be really behind. She spent a lot of time very stressed out that because she hadn't gone to public school that she would be really struggling to keep up. And I kept telling her, I knew that wasn't the case. You know, I think you're fine. Don't worry about it. And then when she got to school and she started experiencing, you know, class life there, she was like, Mom, this schoolwork is easy. Like she did a pre-algebra course before she went, and now she's doing algebra one. And she's like, my pre-algebra course in homeschool that I did is harder than my algebra one course in public school. So that was kind of a funny pro. It gave her and then my other kids a little more confidence that they're not behind. For Bethany's personality specifically, she's a very extroverted kid. So she was very social in homeschool. She was one of the most social homeschool kids, you know, around here for sure. But she really does thrive on that, you know, added sociality. And it's been good for us to see her manage relationships with people who are very different than us. And so those have been some good pros. And then, of course, like I mentioned before, the restaurant experience that we just can't give her at home. Like, there are at-home study technique classes, but they're not going to teach you what happens when you spend a whole day making side salads for a banquet, and then somebody puts the wrong setting on the cooler and they all freeze overnight. So you can't use them for the banquet, and then you have to scramble and make 200 more side salads that, you know, happened in the beginning of the year for them. So that's been a pro. A con, I feel like, is, I don't know, the high school social element is a pro and a con at the same time. Like, she enjoys being around friends all the time, but it also can dominate a little too much of her worry and concern and her time. Feeling a little more limited. It's funny, they were really big on saying when we went to the orientation for them, they were like, oh, we're not a big homework school, but then they end up assigning a bunch of homework, and that probably bothers me more than vacation days, because I want our evenings to be together, because here they do, our seminary is all weird, they do only.
You were frozen.
Yeah, I got kicked out of Zoom.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're back.
And now I'm back, but I think I was done making, you know.
What we heard, you had just said that you were valuing your evenings and homework and something about seminary.
Yeah, like those, it bothers me a little bit more than vacations, that when she has times of, you know, a lot of homework. And then I worry about various things, but I'd be worried if she were in public school too. But I think it's been a real pro for us to let her choose, like a lot like Sarah was saying, to let her choose and to for her to experience that we will support her, even if she's making a choice that we may not have made for her. But yeah, so that. So there are definitely a good amount of pros. I feel like, I also kind of feel like the cons are all the things I expected to be cons. So they don't feel like a huge deal. Like she was telling me she got 100% on a French Revolution quiz, but now can't remember anything about the French Revolution because she just had to learn it for the test and now it's done, you know? And those are things that I just, you know, don't love about public school, and some of the social interaction I don't love about public school, but I expected those. So yeah, so those are some of the pros and cons from my perspective. Do we have more questions, or?
If we don't, I'll jump in and talk about my cons, which I didn't really get to.
Yeah, you go, Sarah, and then I remembered.
Okay. I was just going to say some of the cons that I personally have experienced. I mean, there's cons and learning curves going on for my kids at school, like Kara was talking about, definitely, like that whole, it's a very different social world. But as a homeschooling mom, some of the things that I struggled with the most were kind of homeschooling my daughter during the day. And then, you know, when they were both at home, we'd do our schooling during the morning, maybe into the early afternoon. And then I would kind of be done as a teacher and my kids would go off and do their thing. But when my son went to school, there was this steep learning curve of teaching my daughter all day and then having a quick lunch break. And then my son would come home from school and he would have so much to talk about and so much to process and homework to go through and needing help with homework or understanding, you know, there was a lot he needed help with, just understanding, like, this is what you do at school. Like, you have to take notes to prove to the teacher that you're paying attention, because we're not going to have a conversation about it like at home. You know, and just different things that he needed help with. So I kind of felt like my school day as a mom stretched out to take up, you know, the entire day, and then trying to make dinner on top of that. So I felt a real time squeeze with having a kiddo homeschooling and a kiddo in public school, because there was some kind of after schooling for my son while he kind of got the ball rolling with his homeschool routine. And so that was a big kind of challenge for me personally. And then, of course, turning over control of my son's learning to somebody else that I don't know has definitely been kind of a personal challenge for me also. Just kind of knowing how his teachers relate to him and how they treat him and what they expect him to be able to do and to know and what he does know, and just watching him out in the world and interacting with people that don't know him as well as I know him and who I don't know personally is kind of a challenge for that too. It all gets better though. I will say
Sarah stole all of my ideas.
Oh, see, that means that we're both right.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to speak to that idea that you spend your energy homeschooling, and then at 2:30 or whatever time it is that your kids get home, you have to re-hit the ground running. And it's just a certain level of energy depletion that I hadn't experienced before. And being able to readjust your schedule to meet the needs of doing homework in the evening and maybe pulling in your spouse for some either homework, either helping with homework or taking over some, you know, post dinner duties and things like that. Just the reconfiguring of your family schedule that needs to happen, which is often, I've experienced quite a few friends that think they might want to homeschool their children, and they'll pull out one of their children to kind of test it. And they experience that where they're like on all day and everything's a mess. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've said like, but it won't be like this if you pull all of them out, like, because then your schedule and your dynamics will be totally shifted. Like, don't judge homeschooling on both, you know, doing both at the same time. So that energy depletion is real. And also the dynamics of the relationship with the teacher. I certainly did not want to come across as like that homeschool mom. So I was tiptoeing around, how involved do I be? Do I, and a couple of times it's kind of backfired because I didn't want to be pushy. I didn't want to come across as not trusting them, even though I obviously struggled with trusting the teachers, but I just really wanted to be like a cooperative parent. But what I found out was, I'm like, well, why aren't they sending home like sight word lists? And why aren't they doing this? And so then I reach out to the teacher halfway through the year, and she's like, oh, well, like there's so many families that aren't interested in helping their children learn that we only send that stuff to the people that ask for it. And I'm like, okay. So that's been, that's a challenge, trying to figure out like, and maybe that's just my own insecurity, you know, of being feeling like maybe I'm being judged as being pushy or something, but figuring out the dynamics of how to help your child without coming across as pushy has been a challenge for me.
I am going to agree with you again that it's a challenge to, like, it's a challenge for our kids to go from homeschooling and stepping into that public school arena, but it's also been a new experience for me to know how to interact with the teachers and what's too much, what's not enough. I've tried to give my son a lot of leeway and liberty to have his own experience, but knowing like how much information to share is kind of tricky too.
For sure.
Kara, did you have something?
Not too much to add to that. I feel like because our daughter's almost 16, like we're kind of like, you need to own this, you know, like it's kind of all you. And we actually, unless she really needs help with a homework, you know, task, we're kind of hands off. I don't feel like we've struggled with teacher relationships because we feel like that's her responsibility, but she's almost 16. Like there's such a different, you know, dynamic with a high schooler. But what I find really, really funny is that her tech field, they call it shop, and her shop teacher, he'll send out, you know, if it's parent teacher conference time. And I interpret that as, okay, we need to set up a parent teacher conference. But then what it really means, and I just learned this, is it's parent-teacher conference if you have a concern. And so we sit down and he's like, so what's wrong? Are you worried? And we're like, no, she's a straight A student. She's really happy. We're fine. And he's like, oh, great. You know, it's kind of a like trying to adjust to the different world, you know, is so different. But I just think the personalities of the teachers and the personalities of the kids just are so unique, you know, to everybody's different situations. This would have been a lot harder, I think, if my kids were in elementary or middle school.
I'm going to agree with you too. Parent-teacher conferences have been such a letdown. they feel very scripted and like no news is good news to me. But I did see in the comments that Sarah Gray has a comment to make.
Yeah, I'm interested in this conversation because I feel like I have a different perspective being how I'm working at the public school. Like, I feel like it's such an interesting time of life for me just because my husband has a part-time job. And so I felt like we needed benefits and we needed to have that income. And so I went back to school and just being able to balance still having teaching my kids, because my husband's still trying to do a ton of other stuff to earn money. So he doesn't really have time to homeschool them. And they're older, they're 7th and 8th grade right now, but just they don't do anything on their own. So trying to figure out how to help them when I'm gone all day, that's a huge struggle. And when I run parent-teacher conferences, I bring every kid in and I have a huge list of all the good things they do individually, by the way, as a teacher, as a side note. But I feel like that's my hard part, is just working in the public school and trying to homeschool at the same time is difficult. Like, it's manageable, but it's definitely not my ideal.
I think there's a panel just for you tomorrow. Isn't the panel tomorrow about working and homeschooling?
Yeah.
So hard.
Yeah, that is definitely another wrench to throw in there.
Another thing that came to my mind is something that's nice about doing both. Is, I don't know if maybe I'm just a contrarian or I don't know, but when I'm with a group of public school families and they're kind of bashing homeschool, I will always like really like, I don't know, fiercely defend homeschool. But then when I'm with a group of homeschoolers who are bashing public school, I kind of fiercely defend public school too. So I like having the opportunity not just in word, but in deed, to say that I do think that there are good things that can come out of a public school experience, even if they don't use the education principles that I want them to use. Even if, like, my daughter's learned way more slang and swear words than she has ever been exposed to in her life. And I don't love that, but it's all part of an experience that will, you know, that she chose to have, and it'll be okay. She's the good kid, you know, at school, everyone's like, oh, you're such a good kid. But I like, just for me, just so that I'm not like saying one thing and then doing something else. I also had kind of expected that her going to this charter school would inspire my 13-year-old to apply and want to go too, but she's like, no, I don't want anything to do with it. So I'm kind of happy about that because I do like having the kids.
I had a question. I don't know if you guys have said this before, but what kind of school or what kind of homeschool activities do you do with your kids when they've been in public school? Like, I hear that a lot from my public school friends, like, oh, I still do stuff with them at home and I like doing this or I like doing this. But do you guys still have stuff that you, I don't know, that you like to do on weekends or vacation days or stuff?
So for us, and Sarah, you might already know this, Sarah Gray and I are really good friends and we talk all the time. So Sarah, this probably, you probably already know this, but Bethany will take the opportunity to like take online classes to earn more credits because she wants to graduate with a ton of credits. So I don't feel like I do anything, but she'll guide stuff. Like, and we do a lot of the stuff that we, you know, would normally do. I just feel like her off school time is just our normal day-to-day stuff, and there's some homeschool in it and there's just routine in it as well. So I don't know, but again, I feel like with a self-driven high schooler, it's just such a different world than if you have littles.
Yeah, Sarah, I think you're speaking to like supplementing their education. I think maybe That's what you mean?
That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't, but it's, again, I don't know if you were on when I said this, but I've always kind of been forced to send kids to public school because they're foster children. So I've always been a little bit like, well, if you're not going to let me homeschool them, then I'm not going to go all out. Like, I've just been a little bit disgruntled about, you know, obviously I'm a little bit bitter about not being able to homeschool my foster children. But I mean, other than like, I feel like the things that we do as a family, kind of like Kara said, like are educational about life in general, but I don't like look at the curriculum that they're doing and try to supplement it with more interesting activities. But I'm also not like a super, we don't homeschool because I have all these like fabulous ideas about how I could teach in a more creative way. I'm not that person, but I, you know, it's more about like giving them the space to pursue what they want to pursue. So I'm just naturally not creative and fun.
I'll say that one of the reasons my kids thought public schooling would be great is they say, and then my summer will be summer and I want to do any work. And so there, I keep reminding them, like, lots of people who go to public school still have to do some work over the summer because their parents want them to stay caught up, and we'll probably do that too. So we haven't gone to a summertime yet, but I'm trying to manage their expectations that there will still be some things to do over the summer. But additionally, I will say that I think a lot harder about the family time that we do have now, and things like, you know, doing games that are, you know, they learn so much logic and strategy, and there's lots of skills that they learn in games, and it's a good family time thing that they get to, I recognize that they get to be learning and having fun and keep a spark of that, like, learning can be fun. I mean, my daughter thinks learning is fun all the time, no matter what, but I think I mentioned this before, but I think when we have our time together now, I like to focus a lot on quality time to keep up that culture of who we are as a family and what our relationships are as a family. That's where my focus goes when I have them all at home after spending the whole day in school. So less educational stuff and more quality time and family culture is where I put my focus. Over the summer, I mean, I think we'll probably be leaning back in towards, you know, a soft rollout of homeschooling again. So we'll see how that goes. I do recognize that one of the things that my son misses most about having the time that comes with homeschooling is being able to kind of read and study and learn on his own kind of side projects that I didn't even hardly recognize that he did when we were at home. But now that he lacks the time to do that, I think that's one of the things that I can see now in hindsight how much he did that. And he can see how much he did that in hindsight. And that's another thing that I feel like when he has the time to be home, I want him to get back into like, oh, now I can learn and study and grow in the directions and in the ways that I want to. Are there any other questions?
I can speak if nobody has a question. I can speak to something that's just popped into my head that I'm realizing is that we are actually kind of getting ready to transition into a public school option for my oldest son next year. So like I said, we've always homeschooled our children when we were, when they were like preschool age. I was the mom that like would enroll them in preschool every year, and then like at the last minute changed my mind and pulled them out. And then I was like, well, we'll do homeschool until they turn 8 and the age of accountability and all this stuff. And like, anyways. So then of course people are like, what about high school? Or what are you guys going to do for high school? And I always said, oh, they'll probably do something with the community college, is just the answer I always had. And I'm just going to tell our story real quick because I don't know, maybe some of you guys have young kids and you're wondering all of that as well. So now that my son is 14 and a half, so he's like a freshman, we're still just kind of doing homeschooling stuff. It's a little bit more of some more online stuff just because of, you know, I can't really teach biology the way he needs me to. But next year, he's going to start a dual enrollment program at the community college. So I guess that's public school, right? He'll start dual enrollment, and then I will be able to graduate him at the end of next year. And by the time he's 18, he will have his associate's degree. And that's, at least in the state of Virginia, that's an option for all public school, for all homeschool children to be able to access the dual enrollment program that public school children have access to. And if you, you have the say of being able to graduate them because you're homeschoolers, and then, you know, they can, the state of Virginia actually has a guaranteed transfer program to all state schools and a lot of private schools. So there's just a lot of options within the community college realm. So if you have littles and you're wondering what those days may look like, I recommend looking into that. I saw a question.
Yes, I saw that question too. It was about how do you manage your honoring your kids' needs when you don't feel like it's necessarily the best thing for them? And I feel like that's just such a parenting question in general. And my off-the-cuff answer to that is just that, of course, everything depends on the situation and what they're asking to do and what their needs are. But I try to look at it as, you know, we're all here in this life to learn by experience. And there's a lot of life lessons that you can't learn for yourself by watching other people. You have to learn them by getting involved and getting your own feet wet. And I think for me, it's always just a balance between helping my kids have some maybe potentially negative experiences that I can coach them through versus having negative consequences that are going to be like really long term, you know, affecting their life forever. So I always think that that's something that you need to weigh as maybe I don't think this is the best thing for them, but is the experience of them learning about themselves and them learning if this was a good choice or a bad choice while they're young, is that experience going to outweigh what I think is best for them? So I think it's not something that you can answer in an individual, you know, on a general basis. I think it has to be kind of thought out and balanced out, but I definitely try to keep in mind that I want them to have the experience of making choices and following through with those as soon as possible in an arena where I can coach them and catch them and guide them and keep them safe. Even if it means that they have some bad experiences, I'll be there for that. And they can learn from those experiences now instead of, you know, learning under much more serious consequences later. So it's just the judgment. Like, when do you want the serious consequences to happen? How bad do you think it's going to happen? I'm going to have to get running. So I'm just going to say a couple of closing notes that I feel like kind of answer this question also, or tie in a little bit. I think everything comes back to why you choose to do certain things. So, you know, what are your basic values? Are your values, you know, to protect your kids from certain things? Like, obviously for me, it's a big value of mine that my kids learn how to make choices, like as they're growing. But that those values might be different from you. But I think always being able to come back to like, what are our family's values and what things do I think are important to teach my kids is really helpful. And then also, I just wanted to say before I jump off, one of the best chunks of advice I ever got from another homeschooling mom was when she told me, like, I think I'm always responsible for my kids' education, and sometimes I choose to outsource it to the public schools, or sometimes I choose to outsource that responsibility to a charter school. But that doesn't mean that I'm giving up my responsibility for educating my kids. I'm just choosing to outsource it. So it's like, you know, I wish I could outsource my house cleaning a lot more often, but I don't get to, but I'm still responsible for it. And if I were able to outsource my house cleaning, I think I would be really happy to do that. But it was a really valuable insight for me to recognize that I'm always responsible for my kids' education. And the way I go about making sure that they get an education might be different from most of the world when I'm homeschooling, but it might be the same thing that most of the world does in putting their kids into school. But regardless, it's still something that I'm overseeing. That's it. I'm probably going to jump off here in a few minutes.
Thank you, Sarah. Those are great comments. Looks like Kara has been struggling with internet and technical issues. So Geneva, is there anything that you would like to add to anything that's been said?
I don't think so. I agree with what Sarah was saying in addressing that last question. I think that whenever I've found, I agree, it's just more of a parenting question, that my children's, if they're wanting to make choices that I don't agree with, it's usually me feeling like I'm trying to prevent some sort of consequence that I see for them, and that I'm trying to prevent discomfort in their life, and just growing as a parent, realizing that they're supposed to experience discomfort, and it's if it's not, I can't, you know, it's not my job to prevent that. So that's kind of how I've wrapped around, you know, dealing with that aspect of parenting and educating my children. I think that I've come to a place where I also agree with Sarah. Sarah, we need to become friends. Why don't we reach out to each other? that we as parents are responsible for helping our children access resources. And sometimes that means education outside of our homes, and that doesn't mean that we aren't doing our jobs. If, you know, if we feel like we were called to be a homeschool mom, I agree, it means that we were called to participate in the education of our children, and that there's lots of different ways that we're going to come about doing that, and that that's okay, and that there's actually a plethora of benefits into looking and seeing what those other options are for our children.
I agree. I find that no matter what type of schooling that you're doing, for me as a parent, my top priority is to really work on building relationship and connection with my kids. And that can be done through homeschool. And sometimes it's a challenge in homeschool because you're the mom telling them to do their chores and, you know, go to church and here's the lessons and, you know, all of that. And when they're in school, in public school, you can have it, you know, there's a different kind of bonding and relationship that you can do. With Bethany, if I drive her to the bus stop, because the bus stop's a little far away from our house, in the morning we stop and we say a really bold prayer. Like, we pray that angels will be with her, and we pray that she'll see miracles throughout the day. And when I don't take her, when my husband takes her, I still text her and I let her know that I'm praying for her, that even though she's not learning during the day in our home, that she's not far from our hearts and our minds. And that's been a really good blessing of connection that I've appreciated, because in other ways, I feel like our connection that we're reaching is so different, because she has more people she wants to talk to, because she has less free time. She was the kid that always went with me to the store every time I wanted to go. And, or if I had, for a while I was getting allergy shots, and she would just come with me just to hang out, like just to come and talk in the car. And we don't have that time, but we're building connections other ways instead. And no matter what, I feel like even if you're pushed into public schooling, or you pray into public schooling, or your kids choose into public schooling, or just any different school model than you might find as your ideal, I just advise to work on connection with your kids, if that's a route that, you know, whatever route you feel like you wanna take. And I remember I used to always worry that there was gonna be gaps in my kids' education in homeschool. And then I realized, like, I just came to the conclusion, or I heard it somewhere, that there's always going to be gaps in education, because no matter how much information you give a child, they can't retain it all, no matter where they're at. And applying that understanding to both my homeschooling and public schooling gives me a lot of peace to know that she'll learn what she needs to. All the kids will learn what they need to and when they need to. And I like what Geneva said about, you know, making sure that we're not trying to just protect them from discomfort. And that's not the only motivation, you know, when we're letting them choose. But yeah, I just try and keep relationships grounded and centered in connection, regardless of their choice of schooling. And I might have missed something while I was off Zoom. So anyway, fill me in.
I loved what you said, Kara, about making sure that you're connecting with your kids and that there's still ways to do it. And I really love your thought about they're going to learn what they need, whether they're at home or public schooling outside of the home. That was great. Thank you.
Awesome. Do we have any other comments or questions in our last 5 minutes? Is there anyone that is not on the panel who's dual schooling or thinking about it that might want to share their experience or story?
So I kind of am. We're thinking about, well, we're allowing our kids to choose whether or not they're going to go to high school or not. That's kind of like the agreement that we came to when we began homeschooling in the first place. And then we're also thinking about fostering. So, you know, I've got a lot of questions about that, but that might be more, you know, through email, I might ask those. Yes, I'm just here as a fly on the wall. everything. But yeah, if you guys have any suggestions about, I think you've answered my questions, just about, you know, yeah, honoring their choices. I feel like with, especially with high school, you know, I think as a parent, just allowing them to make a poor choice and watching the consequences play out is just really difficult for me. We haven't hit high school yet, but even now that's difficult. And I guess I have a lot of questions about homework, that balance too. But you've also answered that. That was one reason we pulled our kids out of public school. Cause I was just like, if I'm going to spend 4 hours of doing homework, might as well do it in the morning when I have energy for it. So how do you do both? How do you have energy to do both? That's one huge question that I have.
You know, one thing that we do is we divide and conquer. Like my husband is the math tech guy, and if Bethany needs help with math, she's going to go to him, and if I need help, or if she needs help with English, she's going to come to me. And it's a little, I don't know, it's a little difficult because I'm more than likely going to just be like, if it doesn't affect your grade too bad, you can skip the homework. I don't usually say that, but you know, it's happened where I'm like, you know, it's you've been in school all day, it's not entirely worth the stress. But I feel like in most schools they have a lot more homework than they do in Bethany's school. So I don't know, Geneva, you might have a better option, or a better option, that's not the right word, a better perspective or thoughts.
Yeah, I actually really don't, because our first grader didn't have homework yet. And she was kindergarten, first grade with us. And then our high schooler, she was, one reason she was in foster care was truancy. So she was kind of like in this remediation program where she actually, like, in order to get them caught up, they didn't give them homework, but they made them do, like, they scheduled blocks of time for them to do their homework is what they did. So I have yet to address that balance. I mean, I've felt the energy depletion just with them coming home. And I think it was Sarah that said, like, just the amount of processing that you need to help them with, when before that was kind of like my time to re-energize. Instead, I'm still feeling a little bit depleted. So that's the part that I had to struggle with, and I never, but had to, figure out the scheduling changes with homework, but I definitely have seen other people and know that that is something that is a hit on families.
Yeah, it can be hard. The other thing that Bethany School does is once a week they have intervention, and they just make one of their class periods a half class that day so that they can work on homework. They're pretty realistic that families are stretched thin, and that homework, if they rely too much on homework for the grade, it's not going to get done. So I don't know that we're all that much help with that, because it really depends on the school district, I guess. But another thought that popped into my head, especially in high school, that I talked to Bethany about quite a bit, is high school is all about labeling you. And in her school, maybe even a little bit more, because the kids are all divided into shops. So you have like the welding kids, like, and you hear, oh my gosh, the welding kids are this way, or the criminal justice kids are this way, or the culinary kids are this way, or, you know, whatever, is to not assign herself a label, regardless of the other kids are going to assign her a label, but that the only identity label she ever needs to worry about is that she's a child of God, nothing else. And hopefully that helps her not, you know, get stuck in a label, because she's amazed also at how quickly the labeling starts. Like, this kid walked in, an upperclassman in culinary arts, and was addressing her class and goes, okay, well, if you're in culinary arts, you're either this way, or this way. That's like just the three kind of people we have in culinary arts. And I was like, that doesn't have to be true, you know? So I just feel like that's a good tool to help arm your kids with.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you. Well, thank you for the wonderful panel. I think it was educational, and appreciate your thoughts on that.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.